Welcome to Our Daily Portion with WIT Ministries. I'm Matt Russell, and I'm the director of WIT Ministries. And at Walking in Truth Ministries, we want to help people to be able to live a more God-centered, God-focused life and in every aspect of their life. So the purpose for this podcast is for us to really strengthen our biblical discipline of reading the Bible. So I'm going to read a scripture every day where I'm going to share a nugget about that scripture, and then I'm going to say a little prayer at the end, and that will be the entirety of our episodes for this podcast. Please feel free to check us out at walkingintruthministries.org, or you can also check out our other podcast, which is Living the WIT Life with Walking in Truth Ministries. I hope that this podcast blesses you as much as it blesses me, and let's go ahead and get started with our daily portion.
Jesus and Jiu-Jitsu is a ministry, it's events, and it's a podcast, all focused on building community and fellowship around Jesus and great Jiu-Jitsu. We were birthed from a Walking in Truth event called Pursuit. Four of us left one of these men's pursuits, and the Lord all gave us the same download to create Jesus and Jiu-Jitsu. We've started by doing local events in North Texas. We're slowly but surely expanding those events to other markets across the country, where we bring in professors and instructors. We learn awesome jiu-jitsu techniques. We hear a testimony about the gospel. We give away free Bibles. We offer prayer, and then we train hard. On top of this, we have a podcast that has really taken off that we have a lot of fun with. Look us up on all platforms. We love Walking in Truth, and we appreciate the affiliation with them and the covering that they give us. Thank you to all the leaders at Walking in Truth. Everyone at Jesus and Jiu-Jitsu is truly appreciative.
Ezekiel 5, Jerusalem's desolation foretold. As for you, son of man, take a sharp sword. Take and use it as a barber's razor on your head and beard. Then take scales for weighing and divide the hair. 1/3 you shall burn in the fire at the center of the city when the days of the siege are completed. Then you shall take 1/3 and strike it with the sword all around the city. And 1/3 you shall scatter to the wind, and I will unsheathe the sword behind them. Take also a few in number from them and bind them in the edges of your robes. Take again some of them and throw them into the fire and burn them in the fire. From it a fire will spread to all the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations with lands around her. But she has rebelled against my ordinances more wickedly than the nations and against my statutes more than the lands which surround her. For they have rejected my ordinances and have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have more turmoil than the nations which surround you and have not walked in my statutes, nor observed my ordinances, nor observed the ordinances of the nations which surround you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against you, and I will execute judgments among you in the sight of the nations. And because of all of your abominations, I will do among you what I have not done, and the like of which I will never do again. Therefore, fathers will eat their sons among you, and sons will eat their fathers. For I will execute judgments on you and scatter all your remnant to every wind. So as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable idols and with all your abominations, therefore I will also withdraw, and my eye will have no pity, and I will not spare. 1/3 of you will die by plague or be consumed by famine among you. 1/3 will fall by the sword around you, and 1/3 I will scatter to every wind, and I will unsheathe the sword behind them. Thus my anger will be spent, and I will satisfy my wrath on them, and I will be appeased. Then they will know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal when I have spent my wrath among them. Moreover, I will make you a desolation and a reproach among the nations which surround you in the sight of all who pass by. So it will be a reproach a reviling, a warning, and an object of horror to the nations who surround you when I execute judgments against you in anger, wrath, and raging rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken. When I send against them the deadly arrows of famine, which were for the destruction of those whom I will send to destroy you, then I will also intensify the famine upon you and break the staff of bread. Moreover, I will send on you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you of children. Plague and bloodshed also will pass through you, and I will bring the sword on you. I, the Lord, have spoken. So in this time with Ezekiel, you have the divided kingdom. So the north is Israel and the south is Judah. And of course, God brought all of the 12 tribes together to be one. All the symbolism and everything that they have, like the high priest breastplate and on his sleeves, he's got the significance of one, all 12 tribes coming together as one. And of course, they were split. The north, Israel, their biggest consistent problem is that they have sold themselves out to idolatry. They've completely just turned their back on God, and God refers to them as playing the harlot because they've sold themselves out to the world. They haven't just perverted, They haven't just twisted God's word. They've completely perverted it and added to it, taken from it, mixed it with witchcraft and all kinds of things that they should not be doing. And then in the south, you have Judah, who is committed to God, but can't faithfully keep to God's commands. They just fail at being consistent. So they're those Pharisees that on the outside are showing that they're doing good, but internally or in their lives, they're obviously not. So they're complete hypocrites, but they're still committed to God and following God and saying they're following God. Well, in this passage, you can see that God is, just like he was at the end of 4, he's kind of showing them, this is what's going to happen to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is the capital city in Judah, so it's in the south. And when Jesus came, he was born in Bethlehem, just south of Jerusalem, and then he was in Jerusalem, but then he spent most of his time in ministry in the north, in the area of Nazareth and Galilee. So he's coming to heal the sick. He's coming to those who have completely turned their back. Or, as the parable, as shows it, he's leaving the 99 who are committed to the shepherd, and he's going to the one who is completely on their own and gone rogue. So, the lost son or the prodigal son of the north is his focus. So, anyways, in this scripture, you can see that God is saying, this is what's going to happen to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, being the capital city, was also the capital, the place, David's city. This is where the temple is. This is supposed to be the hub of all of the land. But they're split. So now, it's not that God is just talking to the people of the north, where he has in past spoken to the people of Israel and the people of Judah. But instead, he's talking to those in charge. He's saying, you guys, y'all are supposed to be united. You're supposed to be following me. You're supposed to be keeping my statutes and commandments and ordinances and testimonies. That's what I've asked you to do. And you can't do that. In fact, you're going much further than that. You're filling my synagogues, my temple, you're filling them with idols. You're bringing in all these pagan traditions to worship me. Or you're not even worshiping me at all. So he's going to the source. It's like going to the higher up to talk about what the people or the common person is doing. Because if a team is failing, it's not because it's a bad team, it's because it has a bad leader. And he's saying, look, Jerusalem, you're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to hold this together, and you can't do it. So, as we, as leaders, as fathers, as mothers, as leaders, we need to know that God has called us to do something. He's called us to lead his people. He's called us to raise up these precious gems that he's given to us as children, which are his children, not our own. We're supposed to be the example, and we need to lead that way. We need to not be hypocrites. We need to not be the adulterers who are being unfaithful to God, even though saying we're committed to God, but still turning our backs on God. We can't be the complete harlot who's totally sold ourselves out to the world. We need to be the example and show our children and show these generations and show those people around us, this is what it looks like to worship, honor, and follow God. And if we can't, I mean, there's consequences. There's consequences to misleading, misguiding, and misteaching falsely those people around us. So, Father, thank you for this warning. Thank you for this just obvious warning telling us to not be abominations, but to be the example. To not sour the relationship that we have, but to bring sweet offerings to you of blessings. And Father, we just, our desire is to worship you, to glorify you, and to bring your kingdom here. So help us. Show us how to be the good example. Show us how to be the model. As Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, he came to model it for us and show us how we can keep it in our lives. And you made it even easier by writing it on our heart, not changing it. You wrote the same law on our heart. So we always have it here in us. Father, I just pray that we could keep to your statutes and your commandments and your ordinances and not complain and justify to making ourselves our own idol and justifying our own actions by changing what your word says. Father, I pray that it would just be the love that you demonstrated through Jesus dying on the cross that could flow through us to other people. And let our lives be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to you and your kingdom. And I pray for all this in Jesus' name.
Are you concerned about what the future holds? Are you confident that the retirement plans that you have today will still be secure tomorrow? Let us help you by clearing up the uncertainty. This is Matt Russell, the director of WIT Ministries. Many of us at Walking in Truth Ministries are bivocational, working in our ministry as well as in the financial services industry at Win Big Financial Group. We help people to build a tax-free and risk-free retirement. Give me a call at 817-903-2575 to support our ministry and to secure your family's financial future. Again, call today at 817-903-2575. Thank you and God bless. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope that that blesses you either as an individual or with you and your other loved ones. Maybe this is something that you're utilizing to spend with your family some time around God's Word, and of course, that is great. I love that, and I'd love to hear how the Daily Portion podcast is blessing you. If you would, just go to our website at walkingintruthministries.org. And go on there and just drop us a little note about this podcast or one of our other podcasts, or even just check out the events that we have available. But again, thank you very much and look forward to seeing you again tomorrow as we dig into our daily portion with Whit Ministries. God bless.